Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, January 10th, 2021. I'll begin reading the most recent articles first, and I'm reading on Thursday, January 14th. San Angelo COVID-19 testing. A look at local and state coronavirus data for January. Published January 14th. Tom Green County COVID-19 cases. As of January 14th, City of San Angelo, 14,470 positive cases reported. 165 new positive tests. Deaths, 241. 158 from Tom Green County and 83 from other counties. 102 currently hospitalized. 1,678 active cases. San Angelo City Offices Closed for MLK Day by Rosanna Frere, published January 14th. Most city offices in San Angelo will be closed Monday, January 18th in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. There will be no interruption in trash pickup or landfill operations. There will also be no change in COVID-19 reporting from the San Angelo Health Department. Among the city operations that will be closed January 18th, Animal Services, City Hall and the Community Development Building, City Hall Annex, Fairmont Cemetery's Business Offices, Municipal Court, Nature Center, Parks and Recreation Offices, San Angelo Tom Green County Health Department, Southside and Carl Ray Johnson Recreation Centers, Station 618 and Santa Fe Crossing Senior Centers, Women, Infants, and Children, WIC. Fort Concho Visitor Center in Barracks 1 will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on MLK Day. Self-guided tours will be available. For more information, visit fortconcho.com. WIC offices will reopen at 7 a.m. Tuesday, January 19th. City offices will reopen at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, January 19th. Here's who's running for San Angelo City Council and how you can file to run too, by John Tufts, published January 13th. The positions for mayor and city council single-member District 2, 4, and 6 are up for election, and voters will decide who will represent them on May 1st. San Angelo residents interested in joining City Council can file for candidacy beginning January 13th until February 12th. This story will be updated when more people file for positions on the council. Candidates running for San Angelo City Council on May 1st include: for Mayor, Brenda Guntner, file January 13th. Single Member District 2, Tom Thompson, file January 13th. Single Member District 4, Lucy Gonzalez, file January 13th. Single Member District 6, Billy DeWitt, file January 13th. Each position will be filled with elected officials serving four-year terms. Election Day in San Angelo is May 1st. Where can I get a candidate packet? Candidate packets are available in the City Clerk's office in Room 204 on the second floor at City Hall, 72 West College Avenue. Officials stated face masks must be worn while inside City Hall. Candidate packets are also available at cosatx.us/elections. Completed applications may be returned in person to the City Clerk's office, by mail to City Hall, or via email to City Clerk Julia Antilli at julia.antilley@cosatx.us. Candidate packets contain applications, information, and forms about the process for those considering running for mayor or city council. Any questions may be directed to the city clerk's office. Get registered to vote. San Angelo residents must be registered by April 1st. Voter registration applications are available at the Tom Green County Election Voter Registration Office on the first floor of the Ed B. Keys Building, 113 West Beauregard Avenue. For more information, you can contact the city clerk's office at 325-657-4405. Taste of San Angelo different for 2021. Purchase Passport to Try Food Samples at Restaurants by Rosanna Frere, published January 14th. The Taste of San Angelo will look different for 2021. The annual event that usually hosts vendors and allows participants will stop by booths to sample food for San Angelo restaurants is taking a new approach amid coronavirus restrictions. This year, the event has turned into a tour that could win you a prize. Lori Summerlin with the San Angelo Restaurant Association explains how it works. First, purchase a passport book for $25 that is loaded with free samples for you to try from 16 participating restaurants. Second, take the tour of these restaurants, try their free samples, and have them stamp your passport. Last, once you have completed the tour with all the stamps, leave the passport at the last restaurant you visit. All completed passports must be turned in by January 31st for a chance to win a gift card basket valued at $1,000 from the San Angelo Restaurant Association. The drawing will take place February 10th. Passports can be picked up at Angry Cactus, 1 West Concho Avenue, Western Sky Steakhouse, 2024 North Chadburn Street, Fuentes Cafe, 101 South Chadburn Street, Henry's Restaurant, 3015 Sherwood Way, and Rooster's Chicken, 1514 Pulliam Street. For more information, call 325-262-0303. Here's what these San Angelo business owners have to say about the Chadburn Street Project by John Tufts, published January 14th. Inside Heritage House clocks and gifts, a dozen wall-mounted timepieces and grandfather clocks were gently chiming the hour, a chorus no one could hear over the blaring noise of heavy construction on Chadburn Street. It's 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, and business owner Martin Vallis is worried. Outside, road crews were busy scraping away pieces of pavement and loading material into dump trucks. The intersection of Chadburn Street and Concho Avenue was shut down Tuesday as part of an improvement project to replace aging infrastructure and improve pedestrian access in downtown San Angelo. "This is the third worst idea the city has ever had. It's a disaster," Vallis said January 12th. He sat reclined in his office chair, wearing a visor with magnifying glasses to repair small and delicate clock gears. City officials said the intersection will be closed for approximately 3 weeks. The entire project will be done in three phases, with the first phase's estimated completion date slated for July 2022. Several downtown San Angelo business owners, as a result, have expressed concern street closures and detours in the area will harm local businesses reeling from the effects of COVID-19. "We've only had one person walk through our door. I don't know if we're going to last 3 weeks or not," Vallis said. "We're a small business, family-owned and family-run for four generations. Normally, we get between 20 and 25 customers a day. Today, we've had only one person walk through our door." City officials are encouraging residents to support downtown businesses as work begins on the first phase of the Chadburn Improvement Project, which will cover the last three blocks from the Chadburn Street Bridge at the river to Beauregard Avenue. The first phase includes an ADA pedestrian ramp that will connect the Chadburn Street corridor down to the Concho River Trails, ADA accessible sidewalks, new street lighting, designated art locations, new landscaping, reconstructed intersections, pedestrian crosswalks, bicycle racks, benches, trash cans, and more, wrote San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner in a news release issued Wednesday. "This has been a dream of ours for years. This has been a dream of our organization for over 15 years, said Del Velasquez, executive director of Downtown San Angelo Incorporated, to create an atmosphere that will be pedestrian friendly, that will help draw up tourism to downtown San Angelo, to increase the economic vitality of our community. It's a proven fact that streetscapes do that. But many people who work in San Angelo's historic downtown district say they are worried businesses in the area won't be around to see it. Aubrey Trufant stands outside Trufant Brothers Tattoo at the intersection of Chadburn Street and Concho Avenue and counts the parking spots that will be unavailable for the next 3 weeks. "The whole parking lot on the side of my business is closed," Trufant said. "I'm worried this will drive people to not get food, drink, or other services provided by those of us who live on this street. Maybe it might deter people from coming down here altogether. I don't know." Trufant said he wished construction would have occurred when many downtown businesses were shuttered by the pandemic last year. So did Steve Stango, who said the timing of tearing up the streets near his coffee and pizzeria could have been better. "I wish it could have happened right in the beginning of this COVID mess, because it would have solved a couple of things since we have low business anyways. But that wasn't the case," Stango said. Earlier last year, Stango was forced to scrap plans of opening a second restaurant, Stango's Fine Italian Dining, due to both the coronavirus pandemic and other challenges. His building at 221 South Chadburn Street is currently listed for sale. While it might have worked to some businesses' advantage if construction had begun earlier in May or June, the $8 million contract awarded to the concrete company handling the project wasn't approved by the city until August 2020. City engineer Lance Overstreet said then that major reconstruction work would be delayed until after the 2020 Christmas season in consideration to downtown San Angelo business owners and shoppers. Officials in January agreed to reduce the contract by $1.2 million after it was discovered the original bid exceeded available funding. The reduction in funding will affect side streets only, Concho, Tuig, and Beauregard Avenues, said T. Mitchell Gatlin with the city's engineering services department. The original plan was to extend the improvements approximately 150 feet from the center line of Chadburn into the side streets. That was reduced to the edge of the Chadburn right-of-way, approximately 50 feet from center line, Gatlin stated in an email to the Standard Times. "Nobody likes it, but everybody's gonna love it once it's done." A heart-shaped poster taped to the inside of Stango's coffee shop reads, "San Angelo, home is where the heart is." The same poster can be seen in many downtown window fronts. Both Stango and Trufant remain optimistic the finished sidewalks and new landscaping will be appreciated when the project is finished. It's getting there that will test the nerves of business owners. "Nobody likes it, but everybody's going to love it when it's done," Stango said. "And you have to have progress. I think it's a good thing, although it's going to hurt us a little bit," he said. "It'll be good once it's done," Trufant echoed, "but weathering the storm until then is going to be difficult." "I was shocked. Nobody ever falls over themselves like that normally to help." City officials and construction crews tied to the project so far appear willing to help San Angelo business owners make the process as painless as possible. When bookstore owner Mary Ellen Hart arrived for work Tuesday morning, she discovered barriers had been placed on West Avenue B, a block from her business at Old Town Books, 506 South Chadburn Street. There was no active construction going on near her business at the time, as crews were busy on the other side of the Concho River. Hart said she was deeply troubled. "I called my city council member, Harry Thomas, District 3, and he was so nice," Hartch said. "Then I spoke with the assistant city manager, Rick Weiss, and he was incredibly understanding. He told me, we're going to get this worked out." About 3 hours from the time of her first phone call, Hartch said a construction crew picked up the barricades and placed them one block closer to the Chadburn Street Bridge on West Avenue A. "I never dreamed they would just move it like that," Hartch said. "They were extremely helpful. I was shocked. I told my employees, nobody ever falls over themselves like that normally to help." Hart said traffic from the north is being detoured, but she's fine with it. "I'm willing to undergo a little inconvenience for this project because I believe in anything we do to revitalize downtown," she said. Velasquez said he and other officials have met regularly with business owners to determine what can be done to eliminate obstacles to traffic. Discussions with the city have included allowing patrons of Twisted Route to park on the Chadbourne Street Bridge. We're hoping that people will continue to support downtown San Angelo as they have during our COVID situation, Velasquez said. Believe me, the people that are working on the street right now with the paving and digging are very cognizant and understand the importance of having our businesses open. How are our customers going to walk half a city block? Overstreet told city officials in August that efforts would be made to ensure the public would have access to downtown San Angelo businesses, but said residents might have to walk at least half a city block while the project is underway. That's a problem for some customers at Heritage House, which sits on the intersection of Chadbourne Street and Concho Avenue, according to Vallis. Clock repair is our main bread and butter, and most of my customers are older or elderly. Young people aren't buying clocks these days, Vallis said. I've lost all my parking spaces. Anybody who wants to come to my store will have to walk half a city block. Mary Ann Corley, Vallis's daughter, recalled a recent customer who had difficulties walking a few steps at a time, let alone a city block. On Friday afternoon, we had a little lady on oxygen trying to get a clock in here, said Corley. We helped her. We got her a chair and let her sit down and rest. But how is she or someone else like her going to walk a city block or even half a city block to come through our doors? My employees are worried about losing their jobs. The inconvenience to younger patrons of downtown is also a concern to bar owner Garrick Engel, who said his customers at 1933 Bar not only have reduced customers from COVID-19 to contend with, but now construction. They told me they're worried about losing their jobs from not having enough business, Engel said. It's worry on top of worry. In August, Overstreet told city council members the reconstruction project would be fairly invasive. Pretty much a block at a time will be closed down, Overstreet said. Unfortunately, because of construction of the roadway and sidewalk disturbance, it will probably lead to a significant amount of detours. The mayor has repeatedly encouraged people to continue supporting downtown businesses through the duration of the project. The dining and shopping options, local art displays, parks and lodging set our downtown apart from other cities, Gunter stated. We're still open for business. Her message is shared by everyone who works and lives in downtown San Angelo, which includes Felton Cochran of Cactus Books. Cochran has operated his business downtown for 25 years and plans to stick around longer. Most downtown businesses are going to stay open for the duration, Cochran said. We're going to try to do business as usual. Of course, it won't be as usual, but I'm going to keep my regular hours. While Cochran is worried how a lack of parking could affect his business on Fridays and Saturdays, which are his store's busiest days of the week, he said he's ready for whatever comes next. The general public will find a way to get to us if they want to buy something, he said. What's next? Once work is completed at the intersection of Chadbourne Street and Concho Avenue, city officials said road crews will move on to the next phase. The east-west movements will be affected for 4 weeks in the Chadbourne-Concho intersection, Gatlin stated. Once the contractor has substantially completed this phase, they will move on to the Beauregard intersection and work their way south toward Concho Avenue. Gatlin stated the remaining work will take about 22 weeks to complete, but expects businesses to be more accessible as the project moves into later phases. Here is an article that was published last week, but due to lack of time, I was unable to include it. Here it is for this week. Tally Press in San Angelo closes after 96 years of business, by Rosanna Frere, published January 4th. The Tally Press in San Angelo has closed after 96 years of business. The printing service, run by Penny and Steve Talley, was located at 21 East Harris Avenue and began operations in 1924. According to the company's website, operations ceased on December 18, 2020. Penny said the business has been in their family for three generations. We are closing because we are at retirement age, and it seemed like a good year to do it, Penny said. We appreciate our customers. There will be a closing sale January 16th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the store. Any remaining paper will be donated to nonprofit organizations. Aside from paper and machines, there will also be pictures by award-winning photographer Edgar Talley and a United Service Organizations table for sale. Commonly referred to as the USO, the organization is a nonprofit that supports troops overseas via care packages and entertainment. It had an office in the Harris Avenue building before the Talley Press. If anyone has nostalgia, they might be interested in that, Penny said. Printing equipment for sale can also be found online at tallypress.com/sale. Items for sale include letterpresses, cutters, plate writers, digital printers, and more. For more information, call 325-655-7361. Two vehicle crash near San Angelo kills one, injures two. By Elena Egan, published January 8th. A person died near San Angelo on Thursday night in a two-vehicle crash, according to a news release from the Texas Department of Public Safety. About 8:50 p.m. Thursday, January 7th, officials responded to a two-vehicle crash 8 miles north of San Angelo on U.S. Highway 277, according to the release. A 2018 Toyota RAV4 drove northbound on U.S. 277 and attempted to pass a truck tractor semi-trailer. The Toyota did not have enough space to pass and struck a 2013 Ford Escape, which was heading southbound on U.S. 277. The collision killed a passenger in the Ford, who was not identified in the report. The drivers of both vehicles were transported to Shannon Medical Center with incapacitating injuries. Crime. Armed and dangerous man found in Miles' residence, taken into custody by DPS. By Elena Edgen, published January 12th. Update. At approximately 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, Fryer was located at a residence in Miles and taken into custody by DPS troopers. He was booked into Tom Green County Detention Center on suspicion of aggravated assault against a public servant, evading arrest detention with a vehicle, and unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon in McCulloch County. He remained in jail with no bond, listed as of 8:15 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Original story. The Texas Department of Public Safety has asked for the public's help in locating an armed and dangerous man, according to a Facebook post by the department's West Texas region. On Monday, January 12th, DPS officials attempted to conduct a traffic stop on a white Cadillac Escalade in Brady. The driver evaded arrest for about two city blocks, stopped, and attempted to shoot out the driver's side window, according to the release. The driver continued to evade, left the vehicle on private property, then fled on foot. He has been identified as Justin Dunway Fryer, 33, of Georgetown, according to the release. Fryer is wanted for aggravated assault against a public servant, which occurred during the chase, according to Justin Baker, public information officer for the department. Fryer is considered armed and dangerous. News. New Year brings new hope that San Angelo senior centers will return to normal. By Sandra Aguilar, City of San Angelo, published January 13th. The end of 2020 was very different than what San Angelo senior centers have seen in previous years. The participants and staff were used to having holiday parties and gatherings, celebrating with one another. But 2020 was like no other year we have seen in decades. With health and safety being the first priority to keep the senior centers closed throughout this pandemic, we are ending the year with hope that in 2021 we can resume to normal, or a new kind of normal. We thank all those essential workers in the medical field who have worked to provide support and security during this year's pandemic. They are the definition of what I think being a hero should be, putting themselves in harm's way to care for and protect others. Also, thank you to all the essential workers who kept our grocery stores running so we can have food and other personal necessities. Challenges are overcome together, and leadership plays an important role in that, so we can't forget to thank the local government leaders. They stepped up and did their best to implement plans and push health and safety of the community, even when residents did not always agree with these steps. While the senior centers have been closed, the nutrition area of the recreation department has been able to provide a curbside meal to go versus in a congregant setting. Registered seniors 60 years and older can drive by Santa Fe Crossing Senior Center to pick up lunch Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. or until we run out of food. The cost is a suggested donation of $3, though it's not required. If a senior is not registered for the program, then staff can sign them up the first day they come. The staff handling the nutrition program continued to work during closing of the centers to ensure the food was cooked and available for pickup. The two cooks, Vivette and Amparo, arrive each day at 7 a.m. to prepare and cook the food with the assistance of the kitchen aides, Alma and Abel, who arrive at 9 a.m. They worked to place hot food in the foam takeout trays so the scheduled meal is ready by 11 a.m. The staff also packages meals to be delivered to Christian Village Apartments, a senior living community in San Angelo, as an extension of the nutrition program. Just like the senior centers, Christian Village has not served the congregant meal in their dining room because of the pandemic, but it's still vital to the program to have the meals available for their residents. This gives them the opportunity to have a warm meal in the safety of their own home. I definitely want to thank the nutrition staff and the part-time recreation assistants, Carlos and Albert, who help with this program. They have combated some hot, cold, rainy, and windy days to ensure a hot and nutritious meals for the seniors, and it's well worth it if this is the only way we can see the senior center's participants for the time being. Sandra Aguilar is the Senior Center Recreation Supervisor for the City of San Angelo. Contact her at 325-481-2798 or email sandra.aguilar, sandra.aguilar at COSATX.US. National Prayer Breakfast set for February in San Angelo with Speaker Dr. Tony Evans by Rosanna Frere, published January 12th. The National Prayer Breakfast is set for February in San Angelo with Speaker Dr. Tony Evans. The event will be February 4th at the McNeese Convention Center, 501 Rio Concho Drive. Tickets will be sold at the door for $5 per person. The local prayer breakfast committee has asked local groups to participate, such as Music and Color Guard, according to a news release. Evans is a well-known pastor, speaker, and author who has served as the senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas for 40 years. Evans is one of the country's most respected leaders in evangelical circles, the release stated. He is a best-selling author and frequent speaker at Bible conferences and seminars throughout the nation. For more information, call 325-234-0375. Crime. Affidavit states San Angelo man injures 70-year-old father with can during argument, by Elena Edgen, published January 12th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after injuring his 70-year-old father, according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday. On Sunday, January 10th, police responded to a domestic disturbance in the 1000 block of East 40th Street and met with the victim's son. He told officers he threw a can at the back of his father's head during an argument, records state. An officer noted the father had a cut over an inch in length, which possibly required stitches, according to the officer's report. John Rubio Valdez, 40, was arrested Sunday on suspicion of injury to an elderly person with intentional bodily injury and four warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $10,000 bond as of 9:45 a.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. A trailblazer and champion for San Angelo women, Jean Guthrie Ryan, 97, dies from COVID-19. By John Tufts, published January 12th. On a cold and snowy Monday morning, January 11th, the body of Jean Guthrie Ryan was laid to rest at Lawn Haven Memorial Gardens. Ryan, a former city council member, trailblazer, and champion for all things San Angelo, died this month after an 11-day battle with the coronavirus. She was 97. In stark contrast to a life that made headlines, garnering attention throughout the Concho Valley, Ryan passed away quietly on January 4th, almost without notice or attention from local media. That in of itself is a tragedy. Ryan was a treasure to San Angelo and its residents deserve to know why. Ryan was born September 7th, 1923 in Taylor, Texas, to Pauline Polly Guthrie and Henry Guthrie, who moved to San Angelo in 1928. She attended school at San Angelo ISD, Angelo State University, then San Angelo Junior College, before spending 2 years at Texas Christian University. "It got to a point in my college career where I had to decide what I wanted to do," Ryan said during a 1978 interview with the Standard Times. "We didn't have any women role models then. Women were either teachers or secretaries, as I saw it, and nobody was around to tell me differently." Ryan quit college and began work as a clerk with the civil service, then drifted onto an assembly line building airplanes in Santa Monica, California, from 1943 to 1944. She labored at American Airlines before her return to San Angelo, where she became a feature writer and columnist at the Standard Times. From 1950 to 54, Ryan served as a reporter and became the society editor for the newspaper until she was recruited by GTE, later Verizon. She began her career there as a secretary. She retired as a senior executive. Ryan met resistance as one of the first women in management. Ryan was among the first women in management at GTE Southwest, becoming a public information manager in 1966 before her retirement in 1987 as a communications program manager, in which she was responsible for corporate communications for a four-state area. She described the climate inside the male-dominated business world of 1957, what she referred to as the Dark Ages, before passage of the 1963 Equal Pay Act and 1964 Civil Rights Act, when equal pay for equal work was still a dream. "There were some painful times when I first got the job," she said then. "Some men would not accept me. You had to be very careful. You were resented." Despite these hurdles, Ryan was a trailblazer. Among her many accomplishments, a 1973 article in the Standard Times hailed her as the first woman to attend an executive development program at the University of Houston, which had been attended exclusively by men since 1948. "The pressure to succeed was palpable and much greater for businesswomen," she recalled. "Those women who are career women, most of them want so much to succeed so that young people coming behind them, young women and minorities, will have a better chance," Ryan said. "There is also pressure to disprove the doubts of non-believers," she said. "If we fail, it gives those people who don't want to go along with this change to say, 'See, I told you a woman couldn't do it. I told you a minority couldn't do it.' The pressure is not only self-imposed, but it comes from the outside because you have everybody looking at you, looking at your work. I think people expect more from women." Ryan likely expected much from herself as well. Her list of accomplishments is long and varied, and nearly impossible to list in its entirety. Here are some of the highlights. 1950 to 1960, Board of Directors member for San Angelo Civic Theater. 1953 to 1963, member of San Angelo Junior League. 1967 to 1969, Publicity Chairman for Tom Green County United Way. 1970s, named Honorary Citizen West Texas Boys Ranch for volunteer services. 1971, member of Miss Wool of America Publicity Committee. 1972 to 1975. Member of the board, chairman of publicity for West Texas Therapy Center, later West Texas Rehab Center. 1975 to 85. Guest lecturer at Angelo State University on public affairs, communications, and women's issues. 1977, elected to serve 3 terms on the Tom Green County United Way. 1978, elected president of the San Angelo Press Club. 1980, marketing chairman for a multi-million San Angelo bond election. 6 out of 7 issues passed. 1984, nominated to the first ever Texas Women's Hall of Fame out of 400 women across the state. 1984 to 87, guest lecturer at Texas Women's University, Denton. 1985, elected president of the San Angelo Convention and Visitors Bureau, re-elected in 1986. 1987, elected to membership board of San Angelo Rotary Club. 1987, elected to serve on board of trustees for Angelo Community Hospital. 1989, appointed by city council to 3-year term on River Corridor Commission. 1989, named to Regional Urban Design Assistance Team, responsible for coordinating a master development plan for downtown San Angelo. 1994, served on committee to create and install a bronze statue, Mermaid of the Conchos, opposite the Celebration Bridge. 1996 to 99, served in San Angelo City Council for District 5. 2001, ran for City of San Angelo Mayor, but lost by 228 votes. 2003, member of the San Angelo Chamber of Commerce. 2003, member of Historic Murals of San Angelo. Ryan, an advocate for public art. Ryan left an indelible mark on San Angelo. The thousands of hours she spent in service to her community can be seen everywhere, and this includes the Concho Riverwalk. Seated gracefully opposite the Celebration Bridge near downtown San Angelo is the bronze statue of a mermaid. The Pearl of the Conchos mermaid has greeted San Angelo residents along the Riverwalk since 1994, and it was Ryan who helped get it there. In 1993, the River Corridor Commission voted unanimously to place a statue of a mermaid near the Celebration Bridge. Ryan served on the committee and said she hoped it would spark an interest for more public art in San Angelo. San Angelo already enjoys the reputation of a West Texas city which supports the arts and cultural activities far beyond what might be expected in a non-metropolitan area, Ryan stated in a 1993 Standard Times article written by Rick Smith. Now the statue's creation has created a vision that can be expanded to include public art throughout the city to be enjoyed by all San Angelo citizens and visitors. Every city, big or little, has wonderful stories to tell. In 2011, Ryan described her time working as a reporter and columnist for the Standard Times. Every city, big or little, has wonderful stories to tell, Ryan said during a special ceremony by the Chamber of Commerce to recognize her numerous contributions to San Angelo. I loved working for the newspaper so much because I did have the opportunity to decide who I should write about and give them some attention they wouldn't have otherwise, she said. It's great to be able to talk about something you like. I like San Angelo. Ryan certainly did. Her death is a profound loss to those who knew and loved her, but her years of service and dedication to San Angelo will benefit its residents for generations. Ryan passed away quietly. Her life roars on. Intersection of Chadbourne and Concho to be closed for 3 weeks. From staff reports published January 11th. The intersection of Chadbourne Street and Concho Avenue will be closed for approximately 3 weeks beginning Tuesday, January 12th. This is part of the Chadbourne Street Improvement Project, which is being undertaken to replace aging infrastructure and improve pedestrian access in downtown San Angelo. The project extends from the bridge at the Concho River to Beauregard Avenue. Construction will occur in 3 phases, with the first phase beginning at the bridge and extending through the Concho Avenue intersection. This will require road closure and detours. Estimated project completion is July 2022. Access to all businesses in the construction zone will be marked with signage on where to enter. Please continue to support your local businesses during this construction period. The project scope generally includes concrete street reconstruction, ADA accessible sidewalks, traffic signal replacement, pavement markings and signage, street lighting, landscaping, storm drains, utility adjustments, and a large ADA ramp structure to connect the Chadbourne Street corridor to the Concho River Trail system. The project is funded by the City of San Angelo and a Transportation Alternatives Set-Aside grant administered by the Texas Department of Transportation. The city is actively seeking additional grant funds to continue this streetscape project to the Houston Heart Expressway. Crime. Men arrested after San Angelo hotel room reveals meth and stolen AR-15. By Elena Edgen, published January 11th. A San Angelo man and an Austin man have been arrested after a warrant led to a large quantity of methamphetamine, according to a news release from the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. On Saturday, January 9th, deputies served an arrest warrant at a hotel in the 1700 block of West Beauregard Avenue. During the arrest, deputies noticed drug paraphernalia in the man's hotel room, according to the release. Further investigation revealed numerous firearms, including a stolen AR-15 rifle and a large quantity of methamphetamine. The search led to the arrest of another man, according to the release. Additional arrests and charges are pending, according to the release. Armando Cruz, 33, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of manufactured delivery of methamphetamine, possession of methamphetamine, unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon, and four warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $125,000 bond as of 4:30 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Daniel Ruiz, 39, of Austin, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of manufactured delivery of methamphetamine, possession of methamphetamine, and unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $125,000 bond as of 4:30 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Fairmont Cemetery in San Angelo to be cleaned Friday, January 15th. By Rosanna Frere, published January 11th. Fairmont Cemetery staff will clean the burial grounds Friday, January 15th, according to a news release from the City of San Angelo. The staff will be removing flowers and other items from graves at 1100 West Avenue Inn so the property can be cleaned and trimmed. Items can be returned to the cemetery beginning Friday, January 29th. Items left at grave sites will be picked up and held until Thursday, January 28th, so residents can retrieve them. The city will dispose of unclaimed items starting Friday, January 29th. Lot owners are reminded that flowers should be placed only to the sides or in cradles on top of monuments, the release stated. This allows for maintenance of grave sites. For more information, call the cemetery office at 325-655-9475. Here's how much snow the Concho Valley recorded Sunday. By Rosanna Frere, published January 11th. Snow blew through most of West Texas, turning the area into a winter wonderland on Sunday, January 10th. On January 10th, 3.8 inches fell in San Angelo, and this was a record snowfall for the date, according to the National Weather Service. The previous record for January 10th was 1.6 inches, set in 1973. For the season, San Angelo has recorded 5.8 inches of snow. The highest seasonal snowfall on record for San Angelo is 17.3 inches, set in 1918-1919. Other areas received: Abilene, 5.3 inches, Ballinger, 4 inches, Barnhart, 0.5 to 3 inches, Brownwood with 5 inches, Coleman with 3 inches, El Dorado with 0.5 to 3 inches, Junction with 1 inch, Mertzon with 3 to 5 inches, Sherwood with 3 to 5 inches, Sweetwater with 6 to 8 inches, Sterling City with 4 to 5 inches, The most snowfall recorded was 6 to 8 inches in Fisher and Nolan counties. Children around the Concho Valley took advantage by building snowmen and playing in the snow. Crime. Man dies after rollover crash near San Angelo, by Elena Edgen, published January 11th. A San Angelo man died Saturday after a rollover crash about 10 miles east of the city, according to a news release from the Texas Department of Public Safety. About 6:35 p.m. Saturday, January 9th, a 2004 F-150 pickup towing a trailer was driving westbound on Farm to Market 765 toward San Angelo. The pickup drifted south off the road and struck a culvert, according to the release. The collision caused the pickup and trailer to roll over, which killed Daryl Dean Payne, 59. Payne was wearing a seatbelt, and the conditions were clear and dry, according to the release. Faith. Psychology and Jesus. Understanding and Managing Habits and Addiction. By Gene Stinnett. Special to the San Angelo Standard-Times. Humans are creatures of habit. We like our personal routines and even function more productively with healthy patterns of behavior. James Clear, author of Atomic Habits, defines habits as the small decisions and actions that we perform every day. What you repeatedly do, such as what you spend time thinking about and doing each day, ultimately forms the person you are, the things you believe, and the personality you portray. The American Journal of Psychology defines habit as a more or less fixed way of thinking, willing, or feeling, acquired through a previous repetition of an acquired experience. Duke University researchers found that habits account for 40% of our daily activity. A habit can be healthy, unhealthy, or neutral. Walking at the same time each morning, personal hygiene, such as brushing teeth and bathing, set times for meals, routes we take driving to school, and even a regular bedtime are examples of healthy habits. These patterns may be so ingrained within us that we do them involuntarily as natural activities in our lives. Changing habits requires work and determination, and there are many self-help books for guidance. Unhealthy habits are those that impede a positive lifestyle and threaten the harmony of life. Some include taking negative behaviors to an excess, which constitutes an addiction. What is addiction? An addiction is an urge to do something that is hard to stop or control. Addiction, such as substance abuse, changes the brain's natural balance, or homeostasis. Someone addicted to a substance is continually overstimulating parts of the brain, affecting the body's natural balance. Over time, the brain overcompensates and develops an unnatural balance. It stands to reason that bodily functions will be impaired and physical health harmed, often to extreme degrees, resulting in organ failure. The clinical definition of addiction is a chronic relapsing disorder characterized by compulsive behavior that continues despite harmful consequences. It is considered a brain disorder and also a mental illness. The term refers most often to dependence on substances, legal or illegal. Yet it is also possible to develop a behavioral addiction, also called a process addiction, to such things as sex, video games, gambling, food, shopping, pornography, the internet, and more. The American Society of Addiction Medicine released a new definition in April 2011, which extends addiction to include behaviors other than substance abuse. The group of 80 addiction experts concluded that addiction is about the underlying neurology of the brain, not about outward behavior. Addiction alters the brain's reward, motivation, and memory circuitry so that addictive behaviors replace healthy behaviors. The brain's reward system is so altered that the memory of previous awards, such as food, drugs, and video games, triggers a biological response to engage in the addictive behavior again, in spite of negative consequences, even if you no longer find pleasure in the activity. Impulse, control, and judgment are also altered. Addictive behaviors are revealed in these conditions: cravings, relapse, resistance to change despite increasing problems, more time spent in addictive behavior than you intended, time lost from work or school, resistance to getting help, even if you admit the problem to yourself. Cognitive changes, such as preoccupation with the substance or behavior, irrational ideas of the pros and cons of the behaviors, false belief that you can quit anytime, and lying are common. Emotional changes include increased anxiety, emotional pain, stress, difficulty expressing feelings, guilt, shame, and denial. Recovering from addiction. To recover from an addiction, the first step is to admit there is a problem. Addicts must take responsibility for their behaviors for healing to begin, and also to minimize chances for relapse. Professional help is mandatory. Self-help techniques will not work in the long run. Habits that keep us focused in productive and healthy lifestyles are necessary. Addictions are poor choices, no matter the psychological or physiological motivation behind them. Jesus was a man of habit, born into the Jewish tradition and committed to the teachings of his faith. He prayed daily, worshiped in the temple regularly, participated in every feast, and placed God above all things in his life. His focus was on fulfilling the will of God. Satan could not tempt him. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Mark chapter 1, verse 13. He served no false gods, had no addictions, and never faltered in his purpose. Luke chapter 9, verses 45 and 46. He lived, died, and rose again, telling the truth, fulfilling each prophecy of the Messiah. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. He set the perfect example of a balanced life in total homage to the great I Am. Here is my prayer. Abba Father, make me more like Jesus. Remove every temptation and deliver me from evil, for this is a fallen world. The evil one is bent upon stealing my faith and destroying my desire to serve you with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength. Satan reveals in our addictions to things of this world, and that is a sin, for there is no room in a faith-filled life for false idols such as these. Come, Holy Spirit, ignite my reverence to the living God. Let the light of the resurrected Christ illuminate my being and remove the darkness of doubt, despair, and false hope. Open my eyes to see Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is my sufficient Redeemer. All I need, I find in His presence, wrapped in His sustaining peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Jean Stinnett is a licensed professional counselor and author of Please Pray With Me, who retired in Mertzon after a 30-year career in public education. News. Hours after U.S. Capitol attack, Pfluger submits first legislation to protect Texas oil. By John Tufts, published January 8th. Hours after the U.S. Capitol was attacked Wednesday, August Pfluger, Texas District 11, introduced his first piece of legislation the Republican congressman has championed as a safeguard for the oil and gas industry. The Saving America's Energy Future Act, H.R. 218, seeks to prohibit the Secretary of Interior and the Secretary of Agriculture from issuing moratoriums on issuing new oil and gas leases and drill permits on certain federal lands, according to Congress.gov. Pfluger said the bill is meant to be a check against Democrats who are poised to control the legislative and executive branches of government after the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. My primary concern in Congress is to protect our oil and gas industry from the radical Democrats who will soon control the House, Senate, and White House, Pfluger stated in a news release. President-elect Joe Biden campaigned on the promise to shut down drilling on all federal lands and phase out fossil fuels, he said. Pfluger stated the Permian Basin produces more than 40% of the nation's energy and that the energy industry directly supports 200,000 jobs. Energy security is national security, and nothing could be more important, Pfluger said. As of Friday, January 8th, the text of Pfluger's bill had yet to be published on Congress.gov. bills are generally sent to the Library of Congress from the Government Publishing Office a day or two after being introduced on the floor of the House or Senate. Delays can occur when there are large numbers of bills to prepare or when a large bill has to be printed. What's next for the bill? Since its introduction in the House, H.R. 218 will next be referred to both the Committee on Natural Resources and the Committee on Agriculture. The committees will review the bill for possible consideration to be brought before the Speaker of the House. Co-sponsors of the H.R. 218 include six other Texas representatives, as well as representatives from Oklahoma and New Mexico. They are Tony Gonzalez, Texas District 23, Stephanie Bice, Oklahoma District 5, Ronnie Johnson, Texas District 13, Yvette Harrell, New Mexico District 2, Brian Babin, Texas District 36, Chip Roy, Texas District 21, Dan Crenshaw, Texas District 2, Pat Fallon, Texas District 4, and Jody Arrington, Texas District 19. And now here's the column by Allison Watkins. Winter is a good time to plant a rose bush in your yard. By Allison Watkins, published January 14th. The snow that slowly melted was great for landscapes. Inches of snow do not equal the same number of inches in rainfall, but enough snow fell to provide a good dose of water for plant roots, and it can provide a better impact than a quick, heavy rainfall because it infiltrates so slowly as it melts, instead of some being lost to runoff. So with an encouraging start to the season, it's a good time to consider planting a rose bush. Container-grown roses can be planted any time, but fall-winter is better for good establishment. And the dormant winter, January-February, is the only recommended time to successfully plant bare-root roses. Bare-root plants have the benefit of being less expensive than container-grown, but require particular timing and good planting technique to work well. With Valentine's Day coming up, a rose bush to plant in the ground that will flower year after year may be a good choice for a gift rather than a cut bouquet. Roses have a reputation for being hard to grow, but there are many roses that do well in the Concho Valley without much input. For example, try one of the Earthkind designated roses, which have undergone scientific studies that show they can survive with very little care, no fertilizer or pesticides, and little water or pruning. Visit the website earthkind.tamu.edu to see the list, which includes pictures and details such as size and color. Old-fashioned or antique roses are also known to be tough and hardy. No matter what kind of rose you choose, plant in full sun and with good air circulation. This will go a long way to reducing fungal diseases on the leaves and will encourage good blooming. Don't plant too close to other plants or structures. Incorporate compost into the soil before planting and use good planting technique. Dig a hole that is wide but not too deep. Only plant the rose as deep as it had been growing in the nursery. Apply a 3 to 4 inch deep layer of wood mulch around the plant, but pull it away from the stem. Don't fertilize at planting. Earthkind roses won't need fertilizer anyway, and it's a general rule of thumb to wait until plants have had time to establish, start to grow roots and new shoots before applying any fertilizer. Then, water the plant in well, and water as needed when there is no rain. Newly planted plants will always need to be watered more frequently than established plants, so keep a close eye on it and water every few days for the first few weeks. Then, how often to water depends on a lot of factors, such as soil type and weather, but train the rose to grow deep roots and be more drought tolerant by watering thoroughly, but not too frequently. Wait until the soil is dry before watering. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.